Welcome to Movie Crush, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey everybody, welcome to Mini Crush. It's a Wednesday for us, it's a Monday for you. Maybe we should just meet at Tuesday. Meet in the middle, isn't that what they say, Noel?
Totally. Caught in the Middle. That's the ear song, the ear dance cut off gasoline song.
No, not quite.
Caught in the middle with you.
Not quite, Noel.
What?
You're close.
No? What do you mean?
Stuck in the Middle.
Ah, crap.
Here right. I am.
Yeah.
Caught in the middle.
Stuck.
Same thing.
Stuck. Clowns to left me. The guy's doing his best Bob Dylan. That man, Bob Dylan is the lazy vocal that launched 1,000 lazy vocals. I love it. I'm not dissing it. I love his vocal. But like Tom Petty is kind of a more accessible Bob Dylan voice. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, he's one of the only people who has a vocal style named after him, which is Dylan-esque.
Yes. It's very Dylan-esque.
Not very many people have.
But there's varying degrees of it. Like I said, Tom Petty to me is the much more buttoned up kind of like version of that. And then you've got, who else is Dylan-esque?
I don't know. Dylan-esque is a Brian Ferry album too, actually.
Oh, is it really?
It is. I did not know that.
I didn't either. I like Brian Ferry. That's interesting. I wonder if they're all Dylan-esque songs.
I don't know. Pitchfork gave it a 1.9.
Oh, boy.
Pitchfork. Snobs.
I know. They're the worst.
Snobs.
They've become the worst. They used to be a cool resource for me. Like, I definitely discovered a lot of new music.
I did, too.
Back in the day. Occasionally. But they've just kind of drank their own Kool-Aid a little too much. And that's, you know, I don't know what
rag I used to read, Noel, and get all my music from?
Do tell.
Magnet Magazine.
Magnet.
Real Music Alternatives was the subtitle. Magnet was great.
Yeah, because they were a little indie, but not like, you know, like highfalutin indie. And they would still talk about like alternative and like more rock type acts.
Yeah, like the cover of Magnet would be like Dean Ween or Elliott Smith. You know, that's the sandbox they were playing in. But I learned about, I learned about a lot of the bands that ended up being some of my favorite bands that I'd never heard of until I read Magnet. Like, the Black Keys, every year they do a top 10 albums that you should know that were like so small that no one knew about them.
Yeah.
And the Black Keys, The Big Come Up, was on their list, that their very
was
first
that their
album.
First? That was their first album, huh?
Which is great. I mean, it's their best, if you ask me. Cool. But
I've never really gotten into that super garagey type stuff. Like, I like the songs that I like by the White Stripes, but I've never been like a full album guy. But I maybe need to, because they're a little all over the place. Then you have the songs like
The White Stripes or The Black Keys?
The White Stripes. I consider them sort of parking in the same garage, right?
Well, I mean, don't tell that to they've been in a long battle.
I know that.
Battle.
They got into a fight at their kid's kindergarten or some shit, right? Wasn't it like?
Yeah, I think there was even a Rivals episode about that one.
I think you're absolutely right. R.I.P. Rivals.
R.I.P. So, Noel, we are going to get going here because I have a surprise for you.
Oh, boy.
And for the Crushers.
I love surprises.
I need you to navigate your way to the Movie Crush with Chuck Bryant Facebook page, not the Movie Crushers.
I can do that, Chuck. I can do that.
And so I borrowed this idea from Crusher Dave Duff. Dave posted over on the Crushers page, like, somebody should get Werner Herzog to do a live 24-hour narration of the ship stuck in the Suez Canal. That ship has now been freed. By the time this comes out, it will be freed by about 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks. But I asked Dave if I could borrow this, and I thought, here's what we'll do. We'll get the Crushers to add lines of narration and get you to read them as Werner Herzog.
Oh, my God.
So do you see the post there?
Yeah.
Mini Crush borrowed from Crusher Dave Duff?
I'm navigating to it, Chuck.
And this is what I said. Let's say Werner Herzog narrated that stuck ship that was finally freed in the Suez Canal. Write one or two sentences of this narration, and we'll get Noel to read them. on the next Mini Crush. And
so this is Movie Crush with Chuck Bryant.
I just can't wait to hear these because
I'm
okay, reading through them now. You are, to me, second only to Paul F. Tompkins.
Oh, my God. Thank you, Chuck. Borrowed from Crusher Dave Duff.
Yeah. Do you see that post?
I do.
All right. So let's go, Noel. You can pick and choose.
Oh, my God.
You can do whatever you want.
Oh, I love this first one from Charles Martin Ackers. Is he the guy who's supposed to eat our shorts, though? Isn't that him?
No. Charles Martin. I always say Ackers. Maybe it is Ackers. He's a good guy. He's not a bad guy. He's not eating anyone's shorts.
Even the shorts eaters were fine.
No, they're great.
Let me see how I can do this. Okay. The overwrought monolith trudged into the narrow gap, burdened by cargo. The ship found its way aground. The vessel and its crew cemented in time and space eternally.
Good stuff.
There's more, but I like ending it on that. The next line is almost anticlimactic. Okay. Let's see. I like this one.
These are all great.
Yeah, these are. Oh my goodness. Oh, this is a reference to Fitzcarraldo.
Okay.
The great Werner Herzog film with Klaus Kinski, where he pulls a steamship over a mountain in the effort to. I think he's like. Is that the one about the opera house? I think it is. Anyways, let's see. From Steve Scott. Here we go. Every man should pull a boat over a mountain, then into the Suez Canal. Have it get stuck. It's stuck. Have it get stuck and then pull it triumphantly out again once in his life. The universe is monstrously indifferent to the presence of tugboats.
Here, read Debbie Frangadakis.
All right, Frangadakis, here we go. Where are you at, Frangadakis?
It's
all right.
You got it.
It has embedded itself into the artery of the economy. The boat is the result of our greed and fat hamburgers. I wonder if the boat knows what it has done. Does the boat dream?
Does the boat dream? That's perfect. Boy, people can really write in the voice of Werner Herzog.
These are so good.
And impressive.
I'm not going to lie, Chuck. I don't have indispensable Herzog impressions in me. I will eventually start to sound like somebody else. I'm going to do three or four more of these. Let's see. You got any tops?
Here, I'll try one.
Okay, great.
We'll trade off. I don't do a great Werner Herzog, but
sure.
Here goes Zach Lowe's. You may have freed it from the clutches of the canal, but your minds, that was Christoph Waltz all of a sudden, they'll never be free. I'm doing Christoph Waltz now.
It's hard. It's hard. No. Let me give it a go. Where are you at? Zach Lowe? No.
No, yes. Read any of them. I'm going to start reading them as Christoph Waltz. You
finished it.
Herzog.
You finished it. I love it. Okay, here we're going to do. Oh, here we go. I like this one. Carrie V. McQuaid. I love a McQuaid. As the shifting tides of capitalism become distorted through a lens of want and depleted resources, the viewer of this bereft colossus is left with an insight into the fragility of our existence.
All right, I'm going to read one as Christoph Waltz. Let me see here. Now I'm getting stage fright. All right, this is from Baird William Swedman. Christoph Waltz. Steering massive cargo ships is a complicated profession.
You're very good at that, Chuck. I would argue your Christoph might even be better than my Werner, but boy, he's got this puckish kind of do thing, and you nail it. All right, I can do a couple more. Let's do this one from, these are long, from Culver Matthew.
the perseverance of the ancient culture that built the great pyramids of Giza was come to life again as these grandchildren of the pharaohs heaved the monolith free of its resting place like so many tons of sandstone, the gateway between the Red and Mediterranean seas and between the people of the Near East and the West was once thrust open.
Who's what's that?
That was Culver Matthew, baby.
Oh, man.
For the win. I think we can stop there.
All right. Let's do one more. Let's do one more.
This is the last one. These are so good. This is from Josh Brennan.
Immovable uncertainty, a fixture of the muddy, narrow abyss of Suez. Feelings of embarrassment and anguish as I look upon my waiting brethren anchored in place due to my despair.
I'll read one more as Sammy Davis Jr. This is for the stuff you should know, listeners. Zach Pointers is pretty short and sweet. Hey, man, that ship is stuck worse than a log in a constipated sumo wrestler.
Yeah, see, did someone write that for you to do in Sammy Davis Jr.? Because
it just seemed like something Sammy Davis Jr. might say.
Yeah, it does. It doesn't seem like something that Werner would say at all. That's why I was confused about that. I saw that one and I gave it a pass, but I'm glad I liked it. I just didn't think it was on brand. Well done.
All right, I'm going to do one more as Christoph Waltz.
All right, great.
I'm getting into it now. Brendan Reese says this. Digging and dredging is a complicated profession. Don't you agree?
I do agree. I do agree.
All right. I think we've beaten that horse. Don't you think?
I think we have. I think we've beaten it to life, in fact. Not to death at all.
All right, Noel, we have one more thing here. I asked the Crusher community a very simple question that I've never asked before. Indiana Jones or Han Solo? And let's hear your reasons why. Like, that's the important part here. You got one? You got a hot take on that?
Guys, that's hard. That's hard. They're both charming fellas. I think I'm more of an indie guy than a Han guy. I don't know, because he's just grounded in reality. He's got the smarts, you know. He's got his flaws. He's got his weaknesses. He's scared of snakes. I like that. My mom was always scared of snakes. Han just is a little too cocksure. It doesn't seem like he's scared of much of anything.
He brings that BDE.
He totally does. That HSE.
Kristen Bitsaguy says they're both such iconic characters, and the fact that Han Solo shines as brightly as Indiana Jones without actually being the main character says how freaking awesome Han is. Fair point.
I agree. I mean, I like I said, it's hard for me. I like both characters quite a lot.
Angelica Singer says, Indiana Jones, he was on my wall as a young girl, made me want to be an archaeologist based solely on his adventures and courageous expeditions. I'm no archaeologist by any means, but adventurer, yes. Mm-hmm. Han is seriously rad, and this is a tough question, but Indiana inspired me as a timid middle school girl, and that made him a big deal to me. Great answer.
I'm with that. Yeah. I once, too, was a timid middle school girl.
Andrew Anderson says, my God, Chuck, you're ruining my evening with this dilemma. I would take Han Solo 6 days a week, but that seventh day of junior would be magical. This is making my head hurt.
Fascinating.
It is a tough question. Justin Ritter says, Han is kind of an ass. Indy all the way. He's a professor, smart, athletic, good looking.
Boom. Boom. We're on the same page. And again, I think the flaws are important. The fear of snakes, the not wanting to use a gun. You know what I mean? Han just shot that Greedo fellow dead. You know, I mean, come on.
Well,
he's a psychopath.
Indy shot that swordsman dead.
Yeah, but that guy was like a weird, you know, sword ninja. He had it coming.
Brian Ridge says, I'm going to go with Han Solo. Both are awesome, iconic characters. Han was first, so that helps. After doing the math, Indiana's love life is a bit problematic as well. Sure.
I'm confusing Indiana Jones with MacGyver. Indy was fine with using a gun. He preferred the whip, but he would use a gun if he needed to, as case in point with that scene you mentioned.
Does MacGyver not use a gun?
MacGyver hates guns. He only likes to, you know, make gadgets.
You know something I never saw? MacGyver.
What's that? Yeah, it was fine. It was one of those. It came out right around the same time as Quantum Leap, and I watched both of those shows when I was a kid. I liked them quite a lot.
My brother worked on Quantum Leap for a season.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I thought that was a really clever show. Yeah, big fan.
I never saw it.
He's always waiting for the leap home. He hopes the next leap will be the leap home, Chuck.
Is that the deal?
That's the deal. And then, well, it's really shoddy technology because it shoots him around all these places where he's inhabiting these people and like making, like setting wrong, right, writing wrongs. But he doesn't know where he's going to go. What's his name? That actor, Scott.
Scott Bakula.
Scott Bakula, but also Dean. Stockwell.
Dean Stockwell,
who plays Al, who's his like little liaison from the future, who's using this graphing calculator thing named Ziggy that's always fucking up, and he has to hit it and makes little bleeps and bloops. Like, he's a very imprecise guide. Ziggy gives very shoddy information. Mm-hmm. The technology of the future of this world is very flawed, I would argue, but it makes for a fun show.
Emily Newton says, Han Solo, not a womanizer, not intimidated by being with a woman of Leia's prowess, does his thing unapologetically, loyal to those he loves. Indy, as much as I love him, is pretty much in it for Indy. Boy, I don't... That's a hot take. Some might say that's reversed, Noel. And that Han is in it for Han.
Yeah, but he sort of softens, though. You know?
That's true.
That's sort of the point. That maybe if there is anything that like makes his character attractive is that he redeems himself and becomes less of a self-serving ass and starts to kind of be a team player and see the big picture. And he's in it for treasure.
True. And fame.
Yeah.
Notoriety. Greta Mansfield says, or Mansfeld, excuse me, Greta, one of our old friends, says, Indiana Jones any day. Han Solo seems curmudgeonly as both a young and old person. Fair enough. David Pott says Han Solo because of Empire Strikes Back. That movie's a deeper part of me than any of those Indiana Jones movies. All right. Jimmy Klickendahl, one of our old friends, says Indiana Jones all day. Smart as hell, resourceful, and good with the ladies.
Exactly. He's a bit of a Lothario type, as you say.
Well, I mean, it was just... Karen Allen, and she was an underage girl that he may have, you know, had improper
groomed. There was some grooming.
I mean, you know, it's all someone did the math at some point on the internet, and there are the scenes where she says, you know, I was a child, and he goes, you knew what you were doing. And I'm like, ooh, you don't need to say that.
Is Indiana Jones canceled, Chuck?
He's not canceled, but there was, I think they produced some original meeting notes from Lucas and Spielberg and what's his face? The writer? It's totally escaping me.
You don't think about the writer for Indiana Jones.
Legendary really. Writer of Empire Strikes Back.
I'm just
brain dead, Noel.
That's okay. What's his name?
Empire. People are yelling. But they produced these notes and Lucas... we talked a bit about this on the Raiders episode with Hal Loveland, but Lucas said was like, you know, what if she was like 15 or 13? He's like, that would be a wild idea. And Spielberg was like, maybe she should have been older than that. And granted, it was a long time ago. Setting wise, it was in the 1930s, but still, you know?
Yeah. So crazy. On the IMDb page for Empire, it doesn't even have a writer listed. It just has story by George Lucas. It's a ka sound. I had the right idea. Oh, Chuck, I got a dish on something really quick. And now I'm like, I can't give too many details about specifics, but I had a call with a legendary music supervisor. Like, probably the only one who people even know his name.
Well, can I guess or
yes,
can you not say it on the air?
You can guess.
It was probably Randall Poster.
Sure was.
Well, I just had his sister on Movie Crush.
Is that right?
Yeah. Meryl was on 2 weeks ago because she does Call Your Grandmother with us.
I wish I would have known that. I would have brought that up on the call. I don't think he was aware of that.
She does a podcast with us called Call Your Grandmother, which is great. She came on and offline, she was like, you know, I should hook you up with my brother, Randall. He'd be a great guest. And I went, yeah, can you?
Well, he would be, and you should. And that's all I can say. Really cool. Again, legendary dude. And like those soundtracks and the way he curates music is was so meaningful to me in my life. Like the Royal Tenenbaum soundtrack and Rushmore,
of course,
turned me on to like old Kinks and not old Kinks, like, you know, these old Kinks. No, the old music of the early Kinks. And
you mean old Kinks, like showing your ankle?
Exactly. Yes, sir. A little thigh. And She's Like a Rainbow, Rolling Stone. Like, I didn't know that era of Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
The live version of A Quick One While He's Away by Who. Absolute barn burner. But anyway, that was kind of neat. I got to fanboy out for a second.
That's super cool, Noel. And I definitely want to get him on because I love the idea. Meryl was able to speak to producing as a job, which was really insightful. And I want to get more people like that. A friend of mine here is knows an AD working. I'm not sure what he's working on right now here in Atlanta, but he was Paul Thomas Anderson's AD on Magnolia and Boogie Nights and Punch Drunk Love. And I'm going to try and get him on. Because that's insight from another crew member. I think I'd love to have Randall Poster on. I think it's cool to get these people to come on and speak to their jobs in the industry. Because that's kind of like a double whammy. Not only do we get to talk about a movie, but the Crushers and myself get to learn about these cool jobs.
It's absolutely true. And you always do such a good job of doing those little, I don't know. It's like, I guess maybe there's a finite number of those segments, but we used to do those.
Grip This.
That's the one. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll get back to doing that one day. I've been lazy lately, Noel. Very lazy.
I don't think that's true, Chuck. Maybe in one department, but that just means that you're doing 50 other things in 50 other departments.
All right, let's get back to Indiana Jones v. Han Solo. Austin Handler, one of our old pals, says, that's like asking me who my favorite son is. Having said that, it's got to be Han Solo. Indy is a grave robber and culture plunderer who keeps robbing and plundering. May have been a spice runner. But at least he gave all that up and joined the rebellion to fight for something bigger than himself.
I have to say, when he said, it's like picking my favorite son. But having said that, it's definitely Steve. He's the far superior son. I'm kidding. I don't know what your son's names are. But I think we're on the same page. Like, Indy was a plunderer. He was in it for these relics, and he just happened to cross paths with these life-changing or world-changing events. But it was all in the service of his plunder.
Yeah, I mean, he wanted things to end up in museums, but I think he was selling the shit, wasn't he?
Kinda, yeah.
Did you know that he lived in New Jersey? Isn't that funny to think about?
You mean the character or the
character?
Actor? Oh, he lived in New Jersey.
Yeah, because rewatching Raiders for the show, and Hal and I talked about this on the ep, it showed, you know, there's that one scene where he's packing in his house to go on his first big adventure to get the Ark. And I was like, it's just so funny to think about Indiana Jones's house. Like, he seems like that's the only time you ever see his home, I believe. And it's in New Jersey. He lives in New Jersey.
It's so funny. I don't think of New Jersey as being a particularly collegiate city.
State. Princeton is there.
Princeton is there. Is that where is he meant to teach?
I think it's a made up college, if I remember correctly, because I looked into it. Indiana Jones's college is not real, I don't believe. But I think it was sort of modeled on Princeton. And then, of course, the big state school is Rutgers.
Rutgers. Tony Soprano did one semester at Rutgers, and then he dropped out.
I hung out. When I lived in New Jersey, I went to Rutgers and hung out at the bars there a couple of times.
Did you hang out in the quad?
No, I hung out in the bars.
Okay.
It was all right. I went to Princeton, too. Princeton is a lovely town.
Yeah. Harvard is really nice. And they've got all these yards where you can park your car.
Harvard was weird to me because it's not what I expected. I know, like, once you probably get onto the campus, but it seemed like it was like kind of just surrounded. And I guess I was used to college towns where sort of the university is the main thing.
Right.
And Harvard's right there in Boston, and it's sort of surrounded by Boston.
Totally. You cut through it as a shortcut. Like, to get where you're going.
Harvard Square.
It's really nice. I love Boston. I can't wait to get back there. Oh, really quick pandemic update. I know you said you're fully vaxxed. I got my first shot. I have a trip booked.
Oh, yeah?
With my daughter, it kind of came up really quickly. There's this Minecraft exhibit at the Museum of Pop Culture in Seattle.
Oh, yeah?
And ironically... you've been. Okay, great.
Oh, yeah.
Ironically, maybe not ironically, I always misuse that word, as does Alanis Morissette, but the last trip that I had on the books before the pandemic was to Seattle, and I'd never been, and I was excited to go, and it got canceled, and now I'm taking Eden to Seattle to go to this thing, and we're going to stay for 3 or 4 days and go to the Twin Peaks waterfall and do some like, outdoorsy stuff and, you know, do the touristy stuff, but I'm really excited to have a actual facts trip on the books.
That's great, man. Seattle is one of my favorite places. I'll talk to you offline about it. There's some wonderful things to do, and beautiful. That museum is certainly one of them. I've been I think 2 or 3 times. You'll love it. It's got it's got great temporary exhibits, obviously, like that one, but the permanent collection there is awesome because it's, you know, it's Seattle, it's Hendrix and grunge, and you know, they have fucking Kurt Cobain's guitar right there and original lyrics to Nirvana songs on scratched down paper. And
well, trust me, I am very excited. She was originally trying to get her friends to be able to come too. It didn't work out. I'm not mad about it. I'm kind of looking forward to just having a me and like daddy daughter cool getaway weekend. I'm going to get us like an Airbnb like somewhere in the city and then also maybe rent a car and go out into more of the outdoorsy stuff. So, yeah, I'd love to talk to you about some suggestions.
It's great. I went to the museum to see the Marvel exhibit when they did that, and I went when they did the Star Wars costume exhibit, and they were both fantastic.
Nice.
Highly recommend. Lots of cool stuff. Let me see here. Jay Frazier says Han Solo because he can be the good guy and shoot first. And let's finish this off with Mike Snelling Jr., Indiana Jones, because gasp. I kind of strongly dislike Star Wars. Indiana Jones is just a much more entertaining, campy romp through cinematic history. Also, it's nice to see an academic as a lead who still had swagger and could throw down when needed. He wasn't an action hero. He was more of an everyman kind of character. All right.
I agree.
So Nolan...
I'm sorry, really quick. I have to posit this. What about Han Solo versus Indiana Jones?
Oh, like in a
like
fight?
Like Alien versus Predator, the movie. You know what I mean? How do we play that? Who wins in that fight?
It's interesting. I feel like we didn't see Han Solo fist fight ever.
No.
There are no fist fights in any of Star Wars movies.
I don't think we should allow him to use his blaster. That seems unfair.
No, of course
nor should
not.
We allow Han, nor should we allow Indy to use his Luger or whatever the fuck. It should be whip versus hand-to-hand combat to the death.
Indiana Jones had a revolver, my friend.
Yeah, whatever.
Not a German Luger.
Sorry.
He defeated the Nazis, Noel.
He did. But I thought maybe he picked it up from one of them. They dropped it and he used it. You know,
I think
them.
If we're talking hand-to-hand combat, then Indiana Jones kicks Han Solo's ass. Because
I believe so, too.
I think Han Solo avoids fist fights.
He's also leaning on like future tech that Indy has not had access to and has therefore probably gotten a little soft.
Yeah, and I think he's more of a talk your way out of a fight kind of character, whereas Indiana Jones is punch first, ask questions later.
Totally.
That's fight scene in Raiders with the bald Nazi with the plane.
Right.
God, it's so good.
He punches him into the rotors, right? Or into the propeller?
Well, it didn't punch him into him. He sees them coming behind him and sort of feigns like he's giving up to allow the propeller to chop him up. Very
got
gruesome.
It. Yeah.
All right, Noel. This is a little bit of a shorter one, but that's all we got. I thought the Werner right. Herzog thing might play out a little bit longer, but there is a limit, it turns
There's
out.
There's a limit. Like I said, I mean, it's hard to keep that accent going. I've tried to do it for more extended periods of time, and I start to lose it. Weirdly, it starts to morph into Woody Allen on the tail end. I don't know why.
That's a very weird thing to happen.
I don't know why. Yeah.
And you don't want to do that these days.
Definitely don't want to do that these days. Have you seen that Mia Farrow documentary?
I haven't. I don't need to. I get it.
Yeah, I get it.
It's, you know, it's all, I don't need to just... That would be like a rage watch type of situation.
Yeah.
And I need less anger in my life.
Exactly. Yeah. No need. All right, man. Well, always a pleasure, my friend.
All right. Well, thanks, everyone. And we'll see you next Monday.
Movie Crush is produced and written by Charles Bryant and Noel Brown, edited and engineered by Seth Nicholas Johnson, and scored by Noel Brown here in our home studio at Ponce City Market, Atlanta, Georgia, for iHeartRadio.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.